This is episode number 366, dated Friday, June 28th, 2024.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. Good to be here with you today. This is episode number 366, dated Friday, June 28th, 2024. Normally, Peter O'Toole would have been with us, but he is having another event to attend to and will not be with us today. So filling in for him graciously, and we would like to thank him very much for doing so, is our friend Don Wardlow. Don, thank you for agreeing to take Peter's place on In Perspective. How are you doing?
Thanks a lot, Bob. Glad to help any way I can.
And we appreciate it very much. What's the weather like?
Oh, it's marginally better than it was earlier this week, but I still have to have the air conditioning on here.
I see. Okay, well, it's nice here in Massachusetts. It got up in the mid-70s. It's dry and breezy and crisp, a nice early summer day. If you like, no humidity. Very nice day today. Before we continue, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be aired. We have Raymond Gay, our producer, who is our host for today's episode because the ACB community is unavailable. They have prior commitments today. Ray, thanks for doing that. Also, thank you to Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place chat service. Thanks for posting our shows when you do. We appreciate that. We also want to thank our media outlets. Thank you for what you do in airing our programs. We appreciate that as well. And of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, thank you for archiving our shows on my website. All you have to do is go to www.brancoevents.com, arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcasts. Click on them and you will hear our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say, merci, Jackie. I also want to say hi to a couple of listeners who respond to our shows, and that would be Beth Roth and Susan Jones. Thank you very much for contributing your comments. We appreciate you very much. Thanks for your support. This show was triggered by an article that I received a couple of weeks back from a gentleman who is here today, Raymond Irving. He wrote an article called Ride Nightmare, I think that was the title of the article, and it describes the very topic that we want to talk about today, the watered-down version of customer service. That's the best way that I can say it. In fact, I published the article in a recent episode, or I should say a recent edition of Consumer Vision, which is my monthly publication. If you want to know more about that magazine, just go to www.consumervisionmagazine.com. Check out the latest issue, and you will likely be able to read Raymond's article on customer service. Ray had a story to tell, and as far as I know, he is the only panel member here at the moment, unless I hear otherwise. What I'd like to do in the meantime is say hello to you, Ray. Welcome to In Perspective. You've been a guest on our show before, so welcome back.
Yes, I have. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Okay, could you describe briefly what you went through on that fateful day in April?
Well, I had a doctor's appointment. The day was April 19th. It was a Friday. And several glitches happened that day. When I went outside to get my ride, I noticed that the ride was just going around and around. And my roommate told me that, gee, your ride came by and he left. And he came by and left. I called my ride provider and they told me that the ride was here. And I says, okay, and I'm waiting outside. And I'm waiting outside. I know no ride yet, so I call them back and says, I'm here. And they put me on hold. I was put back to the main menu. So I call back again. Again, they put me on hold and put me back to the main menu. And the third time that I called and I said, well, look, you're going to have to tell this guy that he's going to have to engage me because I have no vision. And so she did, and at that point, the driver came up and goes, come here. He kind of talked like that. I went over to his car, and I noticed by his accent, he may not have spoken English. So I got in the car and he shut his door and I asked him, do you speak Spanish or English? And he goes,
no, speak of English, middle Spanish.
And I said, I told him in Spanish, I said, estoy ciego, no dice donde va, which means I am blind. I can't tell you where to go. He says, that's okay. He goes, I can get you there, no problem. No problem, Remo. He goes, so I'm riding and I happen to call, my job. How can I put it? He does career construction and I'm looking to get hired as a recovery coach and we're sending out resumes all over the place and we're talking and finally he stops the car and he gets out of the car and he goes,
wait a moment.
No, I'm waiting and I'm like, oh God, I guess we're lost. And he gets back in the car and he calls Lyft and Lyft says the first number that this number is not monitored. So please call this number. So he's having trouble and I remember the number that he called. So I told him the number in Spanish and Lyft said that if this is an emergency, dial 911. Any other problems? Go to Lyft.com. So obviously I thought there's nobody working there at Lyft. And I was totally astonished by that. He drives around again and gets back out of the car. This went two or three times. And finally on the third time, I called the hospital where I had my appointment at Rhode Island Hospital Medical Clinic. And I says, could somebody help this poor guy find his way? I need somebody at the front desk. I said, can you help this poor guy who speaks Spanish how to get there? And she puts me on hold. Finally, he finds somebody on the street that speaks Spanish that gets there. She gets on the phone and she goes, there's nobody at the front desk. The front desk doesn't pick up. So now I'm furious. I get to the place and get out of the car and let the reception have it with all the muster that I could. Without saying a four-letter word, basically saying that she should be ashamed of herself for not picking up the front desk. And she said, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Irving. We don't have an incoming line at the front desk. And hearing that, I said, you play gossip with medical information with a call center, maybe in Guam? And she goes, well, if you don't like it, you can call my supervisor. I took the supervisor's number. I called her three times. Never received a call back. As far as customer service in general, yes, we are sinking to a low, very low level. I blame the sinking dollar for that.
Outsourcing?
Would you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, if you'd like to do some more talking about that, but,
Yeah, Bob brought up outsourcing and believe me, there was lots of that when I was with Alamo National Car Rental, which I was from 2003 until 2008. At that time, the customer service was still here in America. In fact, I was promoted to customer service in 2005. But before that, I was doing reservations, some of which was being done here and some of which was being done in India. And what I thought was when I got promoted to customer service, I thought I would be secure with a job forever because the people in India were making so many mistakes and rerouting so many customers the wrong way that I would have a job forever. But what ended up happening was the company was bought out by Enterprise. And they closed down the building where all of us were working and a lot of blind people lost their jobs.
Well, Don, you know, this is really getting bad. I mean, this outsourcing is a big part of it. The shrinking dollar, like Ray said, that's a big part of it. So Ray, how did you resolve your issues?
They haven't been resolved.
I'm glad the doctor saw you if you were all that late. I mean, some doctors, if you're 10 minutes late or more, you have to reschedule.
Well, fortunately on this day, The ride showed up early at 9 o'clock. I had a 10 o'clock appointment. I got there at 10:03. So I was in the car for an hour driving around. God knows, I mean, he should know GPS.
Obviously he should. But I'm glad you at least got seen. Now,
it gets worse too. I have another doctor's appointment and I wanted to cancel that clinic out and wanted to be seen by another doctor. Come to find out, well, the agency is Lifespan, which owns a lot of these hospitals. A lot of insurance companies are taking over hospitals, which to me, I think is a big mistake because how can you provide care if you're saving money for the next payout on insurance? And this is happening not only on hospitals, but nursing homes. They're cutting back on care. In this case, I wanted to be seen by a different doctor only to find out that it's going to be routed to the same call center. And the call center, I don't believe it's in Rhode Island. You know, it's somewhere else, but this person takes care of three different agencies, not just the doctor's office or the hospital, but she takes care of three different agencies. How can you properly take care of messages from three different agencies?
This is bad for business. It really is. Can't these companies or corporations or agencies realize that this method, I mean, I'm a consumer-oriented kind of a fellow, at least I hope I am. And my mind is always on what's best for the consumer. These practices that you're describing, Raymond, are not for the consumer. Don't they know it? Or don't they care to know it?
They don't care. I'm telling you, they don't care. But insurance company is supposed to care for the next person. Now, if you're an insurance company, you also want to save out for the next payout because you never know when it's going to happen. How can you provide care like that?
Agreed.
And it's not just to these call centers where customer service is failing us. It's even in regular businesses. I went to a restaurant last week.
Oh boy.
And it was downtown Providence and I was with another sighted woman and we wanted just to get a chicken salad and we asked if they had chicken salad and she goes, go look at the menu. I mean, couldn't she suggest something? And she's telling the other person that was in front of me to look at the menu. I mean, we've really gotten lazy. I've been to, and I will have to say though, I went to the 99 restaurant like 2 weeks ago and I was in the process of ordering. They had Braille menus there, which was cool. But she offered a Father's Day special, which was a backyard barbecue plate, which was really good. And if she hadn't offered it, I wouldn't have got it. But even when I owned my vending stand, I used to offer things. If they came up to I'd say, did you try the Lance potato chips? Or we got some great hermit cookies if you'd like to try that. And people don't suggest things anymore. And I really blame the computer for all this. I blame the screen because people are so engaged in the screen. And I've even asked many people about this. I mean, when you're writing on a piece of paper and you're looking at a piece of paper, where do you see most of your surroundings? On that piece of paper or behind the screen? And they agree. They know their surroundings if they're looking at a piece of paper. If you're looking at a screen, it's like a TV. It's taking you away from your surroundings. So how can you pay close attention to work? When computers started, it was back in 1978. And I remember going to Dunkin' Donuts and those ladies was really nice to give me a donut and a coffee. You know, I used to go to high school and one day she said, I can't give it to you because we got a computer behind there and it's checking everything.
And I can relate. Go ahead, Ray. Then I have two stories to relate myself. I'll let you finish though. Go ahead.
And then back in 84, now we're going in the internet with government surveilling on the internet in 84. And the internet really didn't get to retail where you can commerce. I don't think until 98, but ever since the computer started, everybody's been on the computer and it's taken as a human factor away and people are becoming more isolated. I'll take it back to you, Bob.
Sure. First of all, I just want to say hi to one more listener, Deborah Joyce. Thank you very much for listening to In Perspective and supporting us as well as the other two ladies that I mentioned earlier. Okay, first of all, Ray, McDonald's. I did not have a personal experience with McDonald's, but it's come to my attention that a lot of their ordering now is done by the customer. I mean, self-ordering with the computers. I've heard of cases where people have walked out of McDonald's because of what they're making the customer do now with the computer ordering. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of it. Yeah, and there are McDonald's around here that have self-ordering, but that there is supposed to be somebody there that can help you.
And this next story, I love telling this story because it makes the point completely. I went to a bank one day to do business. Okay, that's all I'll say. I went to a bank to do business. I was waiting in line with a lot of the other customers. We expected business to be done. We expected to be taken care of. That's why we were there. We are the customers. While we were waiting, there was this major announcement. I'm not sure if it was a teller that made the announcement or a manager or the owner of the bank, but a lady made the following announcement, and I quote, "Everybody stop working. Our computers are down." Really? We're going to stand there like we have nothing better to do for the rest of our days. While their computer is down, they're not supposed to go to work. So we're going to stand there like buffoons. I don't know how long the computer was supposed to be down.
That just happened to me last week, Bob. I went to Cumberland Farms just to get some change to go on the Rip to Ride. And they told me that I couldn't come into the store because the computers were down.
So what is it, Armageddon when there's no computer?
Apparently.
I guess so. Well, fortunately, from what I remember about my experience, we ended up taking care of business. It wasn't a major glitch. But really, if your computer is down, you should be able to use, you know, this thing that they call paper and pencil. Okay? I would hate to think, Ray, while I'm thinking about it, I would hate to think what would happen if there was a cyber attack. Seriously.
That'd be just as bad as the lights going out for everybody.
Exactly. People are depending on their technology. And I'm not saying technology is not important, because it is. I'm grateful for the technology that I have, although I'm not an expert. I use it. It's convenient what I know about it. But, you know, you have to have backup plans. Like with me, I use a lot of Braille. I have a Braille environment. I have Braille files, Braille this, because you never know. You never know. But for a bank manager or a bank teller to say, let's all stop working because our computers are down. I mean, that's, you're saying it in front of customers who do business with you.
Well, if remember the main,
that's a case of not having any choice.
Well, why don't they have a choice? They should have a choice though.
Until the computer comes back up, you know, what can they do? Now, the same thing happened with Alamo, and while I happened to be working there, and of all times to have it happen, it was the day after Thanksgiving, which you've got to know is a major, major travel day. Anytime in that holiday season is heavy travel. And I'm telling you, the whole Alamo National System across the country from Maine to Florida, New York to LA went down, and nobody was able to rent a car, and we at the call center weren't able to do anything. We weren't able, in fact, we weren't able to go home because we didn't know when the computers would come back up again. When they finally decided it would be a certain time before the computers would come back up, they let the people on my shift go home because it was going to be at least another 5 or 6 hours. And so we were allowed to go home, but there was no renting going on for Alamo National that day.
I think I remember something about that in the news. Was that like 3 or 4 years ago?
No, this was in 2000. Wait a minute. I went to work there in 03. So it was sometime between 03 and 08. I don't remember which year, but I do know we were sweeping out from under it for weeks and weeks after. And it was before Katrina. That was another disaster we swept out from under for months because we lost several stations because of Katrina. Our New Orleans location was destroyed. Our goodness, Gulfport, Mississippi was wiped out. And there were a couple others, and people were basically dropping off cars wherever they could, and we couldn't charge them the one-way fee that we normally did. We just couldn't because it was Hurricane Katrina. So as I say, we were digging ourselves out from under that for months afterwards.
Well, I mean, there is so much going on. And here's another line that I'm hearing a lot lately, and I'm sure some of you might appreciate this when you call up these companies now. They have these automations, which, okay, I don't mind automation once in a while. Fine. It helps you when you have a menu there and you can pick and choose what number you want to press. How about this line? Zero is not a valid option. Now, that's scary. You can't press zero no more. It's not a valid option. Usually, zero is for the operator when you need her. Now, it's not a valid option.
Right. Increasingly, more companies just don't have anyone when you press zero.
So who do you find?
It's the online thing. Everybody wants you to do stuff online, and nobody's there to communicate no more.
If you have the capability.
What they're not taking into account is not everybody can navigate online. And you know, there's a lot of people with physical or mental disabilities that can't navigate online, as well as visual disabilities. And they're losing a lot of business because of it. Or people just aren't getting in the loop because we can't navigate online. There's a lot of things I can't do online.
Do you know, Ray, that my local radio station, our local radio station here in New Bedford, and I'll mention the name of it, WBSM, they refuse to give us the temperature. Do you know why? I got to the bottom of it. Because a friend of mine who doesn't have technology approached me one day, and he asked me, real nice, how come WBSM doesn't tell us the temperature? So I looked into it. You know why they won't tell you the temperature?
Because you can look it up.
You can find it on their app.
Oh, come on. And Microsoft, too. I had a problem with Microsoft, and I wanted to actually get more storage space, and I just got off of the disability line, and they referred me to the place where I can get more storage space. I had to wait in line 2 hours before somebody talked to me, and every 30 seconds I got, have you got the Microsoft app? You could do this on that on the Microsoft app. And I'm like, oh, screw you.
Like I said, I hope we don't have a cyber attack. That would be terrible. I'm not wishing it on anybody. I never will. But it would be interesting to find out what society would do and how society will react if, God forbid, that ever happened.
Well, right now, if one day, just you're going to laugh at this one, Bob. One day, T-Mobile, I had to get a new phone. I called the T-Mobile line, still using 611. Which was its customer service. They routed me to the store, and the store told me what hours they were open. And I told them I didn't know what time I'd be able to get to the store. So can I call the store? And they said, sure. I said, I'm speaking to the manager now. And he says, what? I said, what's your number? He says, I don't know. I said, you were the manager and you don't know your number? What is wrong with you? He goes, well, you can Google it. I have that number in my contact list. Could you imagine that?
It's like me saying to you, Ray, I don't know my own phone number, but that's okay. You can Google it.
Exactly.
You want to call me up? I mean, you asked me for my phone number. I'm sorry, Ray, but I don't even know my own phone number, but you can Google it.
And he's the manager of T-Mobile.
That's nuts. That's absolutely nuts. I want to bring in some other people to take part in this discussion, because I know there are participants on the call right now that may want to say a few things about their experiences. So what I'd like to find out is, I want to ask Raymond Gay, our host, if he sees any hands raised. Ray, do you see any hands raised at this particular time?
Are you taking hands, Bob? I'm sorry.
Yes, I am. We're taking
okay. Tony?
Okay.
Has his hand raised.
Tony. What do you have for us?
I've got a whole bunch of different things, but I'm going to go one at a time. So I'll take my turn. Gosh, you know, the very last thing you said when the fellow could have looked up his own phone number and told it to you, Ray, and didn't do it is just an example of what Bob was saying about just the lack of almost like human motivation to be helpful, to put out some energy, to do something a little bit more. And it's just an example of the phenomenon Ray is bringing up. That's a comment. You know, we've been through a lot of cyber attacks and we're going to be through more because ransomware is becoming this big thing. And hospitals, you know, healthcare systems, the energy systems, and when they get down to things like utilities, it's going to be really bad for us. So if they don't have the milk of human kindness as their motivator, they should at least have, you know, their functionality and the national interest as their motivator, because they will sooner or later be going down, every one of them. So two comments, no question.
Any response to that?
Well, we got to get ready. That's all I could say. Get off the paper and pencil. I mean, we've got to start caring. So we've got to stop hiding behind the screen because we're getting isolated.
So Ray, I'm still open, so I'll just ask you a question because it's not right to not ask a question. When you were getting your training in the business enterprise program, you know, was it at a time, I'm sure, when customer service was emphasized and, you know, did they train you? Did they teach you anything that you're supposed to do, or did they just leave it to you to learn how to be, you know, the best person to treat your customers?
Well, I was trained, I started training on the phone back in the 80s with Dottie DeAngelis at Rhode Island Association for the Blind, which is now Insight. And she was a very good trainer there. She told me how to use phone etiquette, things that nobody uses anymore. She told me to not let the caller wait too long. And if you do, thank them for waiting. She told me to always take down the person's name and see what you could do and how you can help them. As I move on, I trained, I worked with Goodwill on the phone. That was kind of a training for future jobs. And right now, training to be a recovery coach, helping people in recovery. And I answer the phone at Anchor Recovery right now, working at the front desk, and I provide the utmost care, and everybody loves me, and they think I'm the best thing that work, you know.
That's because you're doing the job properly for the consumer. That's all it takes.
Exactly.
That's all it takes.
I am not getting paid for this job. I'm a volunteer.
It's all about the consumer.
And about the person willing to put themselves out a little. This is probably the most dangerous part of this whole thing. Here I am making another comment, but
right ahead, Tony. Make as many as you want.
Ray, you can kind of talk to this, I guess, is, you know, you have to, so here you have a current situation you're in right now, and you know how much energy you're putting into it. And whether you're going above and beyond what they taught you or, you know, how you feel about the situation and what they taught you, you know, so how does your own like internal motivation make you want to do the best you can? Like, let's just say in your current situation.
Well, I know when I hear at the end of the call, thank you so much for helping me. I know I did my job. That makes me smile. That makes me look forward to the next call.
Yeah, that's the best.
William Johnson.
All right. Thank you, Tony.
And, you know, the way things are now, when I do get a good customer service person, I say to them, hey, I was in customer service for a lot of years.
Don, excuse me. We have someone breathing into the phone. Who's breathing into the phone? We have to put a stop to that, please. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don. Okay, continue with what you were saying.
When I do get a good customer service person nowadays, I say to them, hey, I did customer service for a lot of years, and I know when it's being done right, and you're doing it right. So I do let them know when I think they're doing a good job.
Sure, that makes their day.
That's all it takes. It's a simple courtesy, simple consideration for the customer. You want to help. And by the way, this discussion is important, but you know, keep in mind that there are a lot of still very good customer service around, but I'm not saying that there's none. There's a lot of it going around right now, but there's too much of this type of nonsense going around. That's why we're having these discussions.
Ray, you learned this in the 80s, and I learned my early job experience in the 80s. I think that's part of it. I think people learning after 2000 or 2010 just aren't being taught the way we were. And I know the children don't get a good right hand when they need one the way we did in the 1960s and 70s. So, and if you're not educated and not trained and not taught to go the extra miles, you never will.
That's true.
Tony, I see that your hand is raised. Is that from before, or do you have a new comment?
Oh, no, Melon.
No, that's me again, just putting myself in the queue.
Come on up and...
I guess we have nobody ahead of him, right?
No.
Okay, go ahead, Tony.
I have arrived. Okay. You guys were talking before about what's called offshoring, because it's an older fashioned term, but it really says what we're talking about. When I call, let's say, my credit card company or other companies that are supports for me for the things that I belong to, very often I am getting somebody who is either in the Philippines or India. Those are the two that I can identify easily from the access. And the rest, I just don't know where they are, but they present a similar thing for us who are needing really to be, you know, given some tender, loving care. Cause that's what we're looking for. When I call my credit card company, usually I'm having a problem I'm a little bit worried about. And so what you're getting is people who generally do know what they're supposed to do for the most part, but there is a cultural difference and it's palpable to me. I feel it. And what I've learned is you cannot be an ugly American when you're talking to the folks overseas. You have to be really kind and gentle and push them along. And I don't always succeed at that, by the way, but it's the cultural difference when you are dealing with a customer services person who's not necessarily of the same culture as you. You feel it and you worry that you're really not fully connected to them. So I was just wondering if anybody else has experienced that.
I experience that a lot when I call Microsoft Disability Helpline.
Me and too.
You're dealing with somebody in Microsoft, and sometimes you're just hard to understand, and sometimes it's hard to keep your patience because you can't understand them.
And if you tell them that you're blind, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And they've never heard of JAWS.
But Don, being that this is the Microsoft help desk, isn't that for the blind? They should know they're
supposedly blind. Yes, but I know what I have dealt with these people. In fact, I don't call them because of that. I call Amazon and get much better results. They get it. If you say you're blind at Amazon, they absolutely know what you're talking about and they try to, you know, do their best. And most of their people, I think, are still in the good old US of A.
Unfortunately, when I call Microsoft, I have to deal with a Microsoft issue.
Hear you.
Well, Raymond Gay?
If I just might share a couple stories, I think.
By all means.
Because the customer service thing, you know, there's a total difference. You know, it's not about just being outsourced, but even like when you go to stores, like, and you deal with customer representatives from different stores, you know, we have one place that we like to go to here where we get our coffee and it's in a store that we have an amazing crew there. And even at any of, you know, anytime you have a question in the store, that store's customer service is amazing and willing to accommodate and help you. And then the other day, my aunt and I went to a different store and we had to go through 3 different customer service people just to get the product we were looking for. And we had to get ended up going to the manager. And I was just like, it's crazy. The store wouldn't, because they weren't in that department, they couldn't help us, even though our item was in stock and it was ridiculous. We did get what we needed, but it just took a bit to get there.
Hmm. Okay.
A lot of that's true on the phones too. You have to go with through, say I used to have to deal with Apria Healthcare. And if you're dealing with sometimes they have so many different things, whether it be a sleep machine or oxygen, and you know, you have to go all through these different departments for the oxygen. If you wanted to say rent a unit, or just say if you were calling for a refill, or with the sleep machine, if you were calling to get a new one, or to get new supplies. I mean, it's all different branches, and sometimes you're connected for something that doesn't have anything to do with the other. And you're going 4 or 5 different times before you get the right person.
Oh, the audio not.
Yeah.
So this is Tony again. What I have discovered works, it works a lot, is I just open up to these folks and say, hey, I'm blind and you'll hear my computer talking in the background. If you ask me for something, you have to give me extra time because I have to look it up and I don't move as fast as what you might be used to. And slowly and almost inevitably, they start warming up to this whole thing, and they actually start, if nothing else, if they get a little more sympathetic, and that is a really important, like, emotional barrier to get past. And now at least they're feeling something. This is a good thing. And then a lot of times they get interested in it, and they say, wow, I've never experienced this before. I mean, I actually get that far more often than not. But, you know, I'm engaging with them at about the most honest level I can. And I do like to crack jokes and make them laugh. And, you know, even if it's a corny joke, if I can get them to laugh, cultural differences notwithstanding, by the way, if I can get them to laugh, I've actually broken a barrier down, because I don't think a human being can laugh without letting go a little bit. So
that's true.
You have to serve up all those jokes that Siri will tell you if you have an iPhone. Siri will tell you a joke if you ask her to. You can't really use them with the foreigners because they're usually American English puns, but collect a few funny things to say, something that will make them chuckle or laugh, or just do it spontaneously. But the warming them up by being very honest and personal with them and asking them in a pleading kind of voice, I'm exaggerating what I'm saying just to get the point across, helps start to break some of the barriers. And then if they are this rushed person who really is trying to get off the call as fast as possible, you have now slowed them down to the point where maybe, just maybe, you'll get a little bit of extra something.
Well, on that note, Tony, I want to tell you a sock joke, but it stinks.
Oh, boy.
Oh, very funny, Ray. Very funny.
Hold on. Wow.
I got that one from Alexa.
Yeah.
Well, I could also say that they should change the name of the Red Sox to the Silk Stockings. That way they'll get more runs.
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
So do we have anybody else in waiting that would like to ask Raymond or me or Don any questions about watered down customer service?
According to what I can tell, no.
And if you don't mind, I'll tell what happened that cost me a good half hour today.
Oh boy, here we go.
The gentleman who very kindly reads my mail called me up, and already my day was full. I was trying to and ended up failing in getting my podcast out. It will finally get out after this show goes off the air. But it should have gotten out earlier today. But I lost a half an hour, and so that didn't happen. But the gentleman who called to read my mail read me a letter to the effect that the county where I live wants to stop paying on my Medicare Part B, as in Bravo. And that's a big bite. if they stop paying that, I've got problems. And their key point was that I hadn't sent in a letter from them, and I never received a letter from them, so I couldn't have sent it in because I didn't receive it. So he told me that. He gave me an 800 number to work with. And that's where most of the half hour went, trying to get through the endless menu choices and roads to nowhere. And finally, I got one where somebody answered, but the phone wasn't actually picked up for a good full minute to a minute and a half. But I knew the line was open. The circuit was open. Now I could hear people in the background, and eventually somebody picked up the phone and we talked. And finally we came to an agreement that they'll send me another copy of this letter that I already should have had. But there's no reason that should have taken a half an hour.
No.
Current unemployment situation, it just doesn't make any sense why they don't hire more people to work in communication, to actually speak to people.
Well, you've heard the term short-staffed. It sounds to me like they're trying, but sometimes there's not enough people interested in the jobs. That might be a problem. And that's been happening more since COVID. I think COVID hurt that a little bit, or enforced it, I should say. That might be part of it as well.
What I experience in New York City is because of the number of folks who've come to the city, coming over the border and being shipped up here by the governor of Texas, is they are hiring the folks to do, you know, very basic jobs, including some customer service jobs when you go into a store like my local Target. And about, you know, one out of every five or six people you might run into, which is probably the entire entourage of people working on the floor in a given Target. It's hard to find anybody to help you. But one out of every X number of them doesn't speak a word of English. And I'm glad when I was 14 years old, a long time ago, I decided to learn Spanish in school. I just knew that living in a New York City metropolitan area, that was going to be a useful language. And that's how I communicate, kind of the way Rain was describing earlier. And so now for the people who are willing to do some of the jobs, if they're not from India or the Philippines or some other culture than ours, they might be right here in front of you with very, very poor English language skills, which this is another thing. If you're in a place where you have a lot of immigrants coming in, especially from south of the border where it's mostly Spanish. Like I said, thank God I learned a little Spanish. And so you run into that as well on top of everything else.
You know, there's a story I like to tell. It's not customer service related, but it is about English and Spanish. I went down to Miami, and I knew good and well that I'd need some Spanish in that city. And I had a seeing eye dog back then, and I had a big black dog. And I kind of suspected that I was going to have to tell somebody the dog doesn't bite. Well, I don't know exactly who I approached, but I said to them, how do I say the dog doesn't bite? So they told me, and I went away with that. And here I am in Miami on the way to a University of Miami baseball game. And here's a bunch of people speaking Spanish, and they're right in front of me. And they started panicking because I had a big black dog. And I said to them in Spanish, the dog doesn't bite, the dog doesn't bite. But those folks didn't believe me. They just ran away, you know, in spite of what I was telling them.
Okay.
So it's difficult when you can't speak the language, and it's even worse if what you can say nobody believes.
I have a question for anybody who wants to answer. Ray, Don, Tony, anybody else, the other Ray. This is customer service related. What do you think of these self-checkout cash registers that the customer has to be responsible for now? Not the worker, the customer.
I hate them.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them, but I also believe that a lot of stores may end up pulling them because of a lot of the theft that happens because of them. That's what I thought I read somewhere, that a lot of places are going to start
Well, it'll be no big loss, right? No big loss at all. I agree. I mean, you can do anything you want with those things as far as I'm concerned. And I think store managers should realize that.
I don't know how to operate them. If I was going out of the store, you know, I don't know how to operate them. I'd need a cash register anyway.
In the local CVS, I go to, there's somebody there that will help you. And it ends up being the entire transaction ends up being the same amount of labor for the person who's helping me at the self-checkout as if I had just gone to the cash register. But for some reason, it makes them happy. And they're doing all the work. So in that situation, I'm not at a disadvantage. If anything, you know, it's the same as the cash register. So under that circumstance, it's okay. But I do think it's hysterically funny that the amount of labor output from the store employee is identical to as if I had gone to the cash register.
Wow. That's something.
What isn't funny is if, like, you're at Walmart and they have six registers, but only one of them is manned and the other five are self-checkout.
Exactly. Walmart was the place I thought of.
And if you don't have a person, like I usually do, if you don't have someone with you and you're blind, there's no way you're going to be able to use their, you know, self-checkout.
No, they're not good. I'm sorry. They're not good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those situations. Paul, do you have anything you want to contribute? Paul? We lose.
Let me see
Paul.
If he's muted.
Paul, star six to unmute, Paul. Okay, well, we'll continue. Yeah, Walmart was the place I thought about. I think they're the facility that has the self-checkouts, and I remember encountering one day, and my wife and I were trying to use one, and I'm saying to myself, why should we be doing this?
I did ask Paul to unmute if he has anything, so that's where that's at.
Thank you. So, you know, that's my story on self-checkouts.
It's like anything else. It's taking jobs away from people who need them and putting more people in the unemployment lines.
Well, I'll tell you the other speculation, Ray, is that companies are trying to save money. You know, minimum wages have gone way up and payrolls have gone way up and taxes and all this jazz that's affecting companies, and they want to scrimp and save.
No, everybody thinks the minimum wage going up is a good thing. I know that when I was 16 years old, I figured out it was a curse because every time the minimum wage up, it meant the prices went up. So we're basically in the same spot. You know, nothing changes.
Another issue with the self-checkouts is that it's a lot of times not accessible for those that are in wheelchairs or have other mobility needs. Like, they're not always as accessible as just going through the register that someone might be manning.
That's an ADA violation.
Good point. Stop and Shop is having more of those too. I think one day I was at Stop and Shop. There was only one man registered with five or six self help registers.
And I'm sure some of the employees, I mean, the employees that work there, they didn't, like, you know, the people that work the register, they didn't say, hey, let's get these self checkout. Cause sometimes, you know, they have customers that are with them when they say they have review their receipt for whatever reason or whatever the issues that they might need help that the customer, you know, the customer cashier might need to help them with or might have to do with the self checkout thing.
Hold on, audio now.
I think they wanted to give the customers a way to quickly check out when they only have one or two items, and that's probably how that started. And then it evolved into all this bad stuff. I mean, it's really taking away of customer service all the way to the other end where they may get rid of a lot of these self-checkout stands now because of the security problems that were mentioned earlier. And it started out as a simple idea that really ended up probably being bad for more people than good for more people. And you know, the spirit of our conversation today, you know, good riddance if they get rid of them, or at least get rid of most of them.
Amen.
Hey, Jane, welcome into the program. You have your hand raised. Hopefully I did not mispronounce your name. If you have a comment on customer service or where we're discussing about, feel free to jump in.
Go ahead, Jane. It's yours.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I just jumped in. You all have probably said this a billion times in your own ways. When my husband and I were first married in 1969, I went to work as the first telephone operator for U.S. Bell Telephone in New Jersey. And they located a job that I could do without them adapting any equipment. It was as a CAMA or an intercept operator. I was the idiot who said, "Your number, please." She punched it in and send it. Well, it took about 20 minutes before I started falling asleep on the job because it was so boring. My supervisor would walk by and rap me on the head and say, "You've got 50 calls in line. Get them." And I began to say, "Good morning. May I have your number, please? Thank you. I would like your number. Do you have a minute? Let's get her done," or something. And I would say, "Have a good day." Now, that was in 1970. I learned that customer service is efficient work, kindness, and listening to make sure you get done what the customer needs done and that you don't take responsibility if somehow it gets screwed up. I love customer service. I believe in it. And I think we're suffering with that today. Part of it is all of the scam and spam calls we get. You just hang up on them or you say rude things and you do. I, of course, never do. Anyway, customer service is a fine art and it's a balancing act. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, that's all it takes, Jane. I said that before. If you're kind to the customer, if you help the customer when the customer asks you for it,
yes,
that's all it takes. It's really not a complicated process at all.
I got more letters from big companies in New Jersey, all down the 9W highway. Who is the operator that says, "Have a nice day," or whatever they said? But I learned that lesson, and it's hard to remember that sometimes.
You know what you pointed out there, Jane? You pointed out the fact that we were supposed to listen, we being customer service people, which I was. After I got out of baseball, I was in customer service for a while. And we were supposed to listen. And believe me, listening could be a challenge for a lot of reasons. We would get to, at Alamo National, we'd get calls from the airport. You know, they couldn't wait until they got home to yell at us, but they would call from the airport and you'd have them yelling at us about their screwed up rental experience. And in the background, you'd have the airport address system going off. And also, or maybe in the background, you might have an airplane taking off, depending where the call was coming from. But doggone it, whether it was a challenge or not, you were expected to listen. And listen, we did. That's what partially ruined my hearing.
We have about 1 minute left in the show, so I'm hoping that we can just have some final thoughts before we conclude.
Well, part of it's listening and showing empathy and reflecting on what you've heard, showing that you feel what they're feeling. Okay. And a lot of that's been lost.
And a lot of good things that are lost never come back.
And Bob, I want to thank you for having this topic because, you know, like everything else, and you hear me saying this a lot, we who are blind, we hit these points of vulnerability in the world. And, you know, when we're calling and needing to have customer service or making a call, it's probably one of those points of vulnerability that we maybe more than other people do. And so the experience of lack of customer service hits us that much harder. I really thank you for bringing up this topic.
You know, Tony, you're absolutely right in what you said about the blind, but the problems involving customer service extend to everybody, not just blind people.
Yeah.
I know a lot of sighted people who have frustrations over this as well. So it's everybody.
The whole
system just needs improvement in general. There are good customer service reps out there, yes, but we need more of them. I want to thank everybody for taking part today. I especially want to thank Don for being our fill-in co-host. Thanks for taking Peter's spot today. Thanks for filling his shoes. Raymond Irving, thank you so much for being our guest, and I'm glad you resolved your issue. That was a nice article you wrote. I'm glad I published it, Supervision. And Raymond Gay, thank you for being our host for today. Next week, Don Wardlow, the gentleman who's here today, he's going to be our guest next Friday, talking about his career as a blind baseball announcer. That ought to be intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Go safe with God's abundant blessings, everybody. Have a nice evening.